House Legacy Finance Committee meeting to order. Good morning, everyone. I'd like my clerk, Mr. O'Neill, will you please call the roll?
Of course, Chair. Representative Lilly.
Lilly, present.
Representative Lilly, present. Representative Jordan.
Jordan, present.
Representative Jordan, present. Representative Green.
Present.
Representative Green, present. Representative Acomb.
Present.
Representative Acomb, present. Representative Anderson.
Anderson, present.
Representative Anderson, present. Representative Bowe.
Bowe, present.
Representative Bowe, present. Representative Christensen.
Present.
Representative Christensen, present. Representative Hassan. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, present.
Representative Murphy, present. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, present.
Representative Nelson, present. Representative Erdahl.
Present.
Representative Erdahl, present. Representative Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz, present.
Representative Wasilewicz, present. Representative Zhang. Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. O'Neill. We're open for business. Welcome, everyone, to the committee. Vice Chair Jordan, I heard the minutes being discussed. Do we need an amendment, or what exactly are you looking for this morning? Vice Chair Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. After extensively reviewing the minutes, I move them as currently written.
Okay. Thank you, Vice Chair Jordan. I don't know if anybody caught that earlier.
I overthought the minutes. It's fine. Mr. O'Neill does a great job.
That's great. Any questions? Any more questions to the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The minutes are approved. So, good morning, everyone. So we have the legacy bill before us today, and I'm going to pass the gavel to Vice Chair Jordan, and she's going to take over and do a great job as she always does.
If I can unmute myself. Good morning, everyone. The first bill we have on the agenda is House File 3438. Representative Lilly, would you like to move that House File 3438 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means?
Thank you, Vice Chair Jordan. I'll move that House File 3438 be re-referred to the Committee of Ways and Means.
And then Representative Lilly, it looks like you have an author's amendment coded DE5. Would you like to move that amendment and tell us about it?
Yes, I'd like to move the DE5, and it's essentially an amendment that gathers everything kind of together and puts it in a shape that we can work on today. So thank you.
Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the author of the DE5. It looks like what you've done here, Chair Lilly, is you've just added some Clean Water Fund appropriations in here. And I know that we talk a lot here about how much these projects get vetted. And I don't think that they get vetted as much as they should be. I think that we move a lot of stuff through that we really don't even know where the money's going. And I was looking through the DE, the clean water portion of the DE, and I really don't see anything specific here. It looks like there was just some surplus money, and it was divided up and said, and just thrown out there and stuck to different portions. Is there anything that you have, any kind of documentation to show that these projects that are receiving this much money, and it's a considerable amount of money, that were they vetted at all?
Representative Lilly.
Vice Chair Jordan and Representative Green, I was hoping that we could get the bill in the shape that I'd like, but and then have the discussion, certainly. These in the clean water area were discussed in the Environment Committee, of which you're a member, so I'm sure you heard the discussion. And then we had an opportunity in our own committee to kind of hear further discussion. Some of these are new ideas. Some of them are separate bills that various members have been working on or that have either moved through the process or and I think maybe a couple haven't. A lot of them are adding, to the, added bills in that have been worked on by other members of this body.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then, the other question then is, you wanted to move this through and it's kind of like, let's vote on it so we can see what's in it. Yeah, we did talk about these, but it doesn't say that they've been vetted. And I do know that there's some testifiers on this, some for and I think some against. But either way, if we move the DE and pass it before we have discussion on it, then we already have a bill in front of us that hasn't been vetted again. So are you proposing now to go to testimony? And should we listen to testimony or are we going to pass this before we get to testimony?
Vice Chair Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The intention was to get the shape in the was to get the bill in the shape the author intends and then go to testimony and then go to amendments and discussion. Representative Willie, or should I go back to Representative?
Oh, sorry. I was trying to be recognized too, but Vice Chair Jordan, Representative Green, and Vice Chair Jordan's correct. We're hoping to, or I'm hoping as the author, to have the discussion, but not at this time. I mean, it's, it's tradition of this body to, legislature to move the author's amendment and then have, discussion or no discussion or robust discussion, whatever you need. But that's kind of the tradition. So, and I would appreciate your support on that.
Lead Green.
Well, okay. Well, Madam Chair, thank you. And thank you for the explanation, Chair Lilly. But you're talking about a DE that absolutely changes the whole bill. And so I don't know where this is going to stand in the other body, but a bill that may pass the other body, which I guess for me, if it passes, it passes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's up to the vote. But I believe that the DE is thicker than the bill, or the new portion is thicker than the original bill. And so I think it's a little backwards, but it is your committee. And if you want to put it on first, I guess you can, but it just seems to me that the amount of changes going in here, the lack of any vetting of these projects and where this money is going to be spent kind of flies in the face of even some of the language that's in the original bill. And I guess I can direct you to page 24, starting at line 4, where it talks about that they should be used for specific things. The money that's spent during the, and that's of course in the Outdoor Heritage, but the Clean Waterfront is part of Legacy too. So anyway, I won't belabor it. I mean, if you want to pass the amendment first, that's certainly up to you, but it seems a little backwards to me. Thanks.
Thanks for your feedback, Representative Green. So seeing no more discussion, all those in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, please say no.
No.
Well, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Willie, to your bill.
Thank you, Vice Chair Jordan, and thank you, committee members. This is really common practice for the committee bill to be merged together, in a DE amendment. And, I'm on commerce and, we're putting together the big bills at the end and then they roll out. Every committee, that's very common. So I think we're going to have a good discussion, sounds like. But so this is a committee bill for the Legacy Committee that we're rolling out today. And with us, I have, again, which is kind of practice to have our star nonpartisan staff to go through the bill. So I'm going to ask them to help us go through the bill, and then hopefully that answers some of the questions that that members have, and then from there we can have some discussions. So Madam Chair, if you could have Mr. Hagemeyer begin and then kind of move down and through the presenters, that'd be great.
Thank you, Representative Willie. Mr. Hagemaro, I think you're first on my list.
I am, Madam Chair. I will go through the tracking sheet very briefly here. Let me just share the screen so you can see that. For the four articles of supplemental appropriations, this would be the DE5 that you have in front of you. Article 1 includes the Outdoor Heritage Council recommendations as they were laid over in committee. There were no fiscal changes to that bill at all. You'll see the column labeled HF3726. This was the original council recommendations. The DE5 includes the supplemental recommendations that were heard by the committee earlier this session and laid over. They just appropriated an additional amount that was based on the February forecast. So all of the projects got a little bit more money. You'll see the internal numbers, some of those with the brackets changed and some did not. That was just based on the grantees where they wished to allocate the money that was allocated to the project. So in total, Article 1 is the Outdoor Heritage Fund appropriations and appropriates $159,049,000. And again, this is the only one of the four funds that receives an annual recommendation. So it's the full amount of funding for fiscal year 23 being included in this bill. On the second page, on the fourth page, you'll have the Clean Water Fund. And again, this would be House File 43771E that was heard in committee last week. The recommendations are the same in the DE5 that is in front of you. So the bill that was heard last week and laid over is what is included for Article 2. And the total appropriations for Article 2 for the Clean Water Fund were $47,399,000, which brings that to a 5% reserve level. That is the required amount in statute. Starting on line 147 is the Parks and Trails Fund. This is one where we didn't specifically see these numbers, but this would be what was passed last year, the first set of columns, the total appropriations of $110,681,000. This bill in Article 3, the DE5, includes adding money to bring it down to the 5% reserve level requirement. So $6.547 million is being added to the projects, and they each get a proportional percent of 5.92% increase. So it still adheres to the 40-40-20 split with each of the state parks, metro parks, and greater Minnesota parks and trails, and then the coordination among partners getting a little bump too, but it adheres to the 40-40-20 split that has been historically appropriated. On line 169 is the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Again, these were appropriated last year, the first set of columns for fiscal year 22 and 23. The total appropriations last year were, scroll on to the bottom, $149,749,000. And then you'll see over here, based on the subsequent forecast, there's more money available. So this DE5 Article 4 appropriates an additional $12,096,000, which is about an 8.08% increase for each of the projects. They were proportionally allocated to each of the projects in the second year, just for ease of being fiscal year 23 for the appropriations. You'll see there's only two projects that didn't have this, which were first year carve outs of a larger amount. The Legacy Book Program had $213,000 as a first-year carve-out, and I believe it was Veterans Voices had a first-year carve-out where we didn't know if it made sense to allocate the change because we're not changing fiscal year 22 amounts. But all of the projects had the 8.08% added in the second year of the biennium. So in total, it was the $12,096,000 added to the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Based on the DE5, the Outdoor Heritage Fund and the February forecast would be at a 6% reserve. The Clean Water Fund, the Parks and Trails Fund, and the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund would all be at a 5% reserve based on that February forecast. And that's all I have on the tracking sheet. And I believe Ms. Taylor and Ms. Mullen can go over any changes that were done statutorily.
Thank you, Mr. Hagemaro. Next on my list, I have Janelle Taylor from our nonpartisan staff. Ms. Taylor, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to walk through the DE5 amendment, and what I'm going to do is just point out what's different from what has been heard. Article 1, as Mr. Hagemaro said, is the Outdoor Heritage Fund, and it reflects the dollar amounts that the committee heard previously, and there were no changes to the language as the committee heard it. So then we can skip ahead to Article 2, which is on page 27 of the DE. And this is the Clean Water Fund article. This reflects the language that was in House File 4377, the first engrossment, which is very similar to what the committee heard. There's just some technical changes made when it was in gross, but otherwise the language should be the same as the committee heard it. And then if you want to skip ahead to page 30, there's a new section 2. This would make the legislative members of the Clean Water Council voting members. And then there's a new section 3 on page 31. This would require the Clean Water Council to make their recommendations annually, like the Lasard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council, and then also change when the recommendations are due from December 1st to January 15th. And then on the bottom of that page, you'll see is section 4. This is the extension for the Ash River Sanitary Sewer Collection and Treatment Facility Planning Project that we heard previously. And then that would take us to Article 3 that starts on page 32. Sections 1, 2, and 3 are the sections that would proportionally increase the Parks and Trails appropriations, as Mr. Hagermeyer mentioned. And then if you want to skip ahead to page 35 on section 4 and 5, these are the extensions for the coordination among partners that we heard earlier in committee. There's no changes to the language there. And then the final section in that article is section 6 on page 36. This is the extension for the Central Park project. This is as the committee heard it, except there has been given an additional year for the extension. And then that takes us to Article 4, and I believe Ms. Mullen will take care of that.
Thank you, Ms. Members.
Ms. Mullen, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Chair and members, this is Mary Mullen from House Research. Article 4, as Mr. Hagemeyer explained, has proportional increases to the 2023 appropriation based on new revenue. And then it also has one extension for a previous appropriation to the Historical Society. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Mullen. And thank you to all of our nonpartisan staff for all of your help in putting this together and walking us through the bill. I think next we're going to go to public testimony. First on my list is Mohammed Farah from Kajug. Mr. Farah.
Chair and members of this committee, good morning. I am here in support of the amendment, House File 3438. My name is Mohammed Farah. I am the executive director of Kajog. It's a Somali youth development organization tailored towards enriching the lives of Somali American youth by utilizing the positive elements of education, mentoring, employment, and the arts. Kajog was established in 2007. Our mission is to create a better world by providing community-based, culturally specific programs and services to youth and their families through education, the arts, and economic development. We are a Somali-led statewide organization that works primarily with East African community across the state. For years, we have been coordinating Somali arts and cultural heritage projects throughout the state, building trust, cohesiveness, relationships within the Somali community and with the greater community is a key part of our work. This is done through our arts and cultural heritage program called FANCA, which means simply the arts in Somali. Using spoken word, storytelling, visual arts, and plays, we provide critical opportunities for Somali youth and intercultural dialogues, which creates vital local connections, trust, and relationships. The FANCA program includes three components: a weekly arts club, 3 8-week immersive workshops for youth with a recognized artist, and a public art presentation and intercultural community engagement. The amendment to House File 3438 will provide necessary funding, could provide necessary funding that will impact many communities in our state. This funding is vital and much needed. Since 2015, we have been recipients of the legacy funds through the Minnesota Humanities Center. Thank you. We are very grateful of those opportunities. This would not happen without your leadership. Chair and committee members, we have a lot of work ahead of us, especially in greater Minnesota, where every year more Somali Americans are moving across our state. There are few opportunities for intercultural dialogues. So there is tremendous amount of misunderstandings, fear, and people sometimes do get hurt mentally and physically in many ways. And we've seen that in the last few years. Together, we have the power to change the course on this. Moving forward, I hope you can consider this amendment that is before you today. We are living in a critical time, and we need your continued leadership and advocacy on this issue. The need for this funding and the need for this amendment is obvious and vital. I would like to thank the chair and members of this committee for considering and pushing this amendment. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Farah. Representative Murphy, do you have a question for Mr. Farah? Representative Murphy, you're on mute, so I don't know if you do.
Yes, I do have a question. And for any of the other people that are going to testify, when you tell us about the need and who we're serving, please tell us back how we're going to, how the committee will hear about how the money is being spent.
Mr. Farah.
Madam Chair and Representative Mary Murphy, I apologize. Good question. We would love to provide the reports of our previous work across the state, and also in future, we would love to provide all the participants in our program and the impact that we've had both in the Somali community and greater the communities as well.
Good, because that's very important, as Representative Green said previously, so that we know that the money is being used in the right spots and how many new people are being exposed to the funding through your advocacy. We appreciate that very much.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Next on my list for testimony is David Kelleher from the Minnesota Historical Society. Mr. Kelleher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm David Kelleher from the Minnesota Historical Society, and sorry, I'm watching two committees at the same time, and I want to make sure I don't live stream the other one onto this one. It's that kind of day. Minnesota Historical Society Director Kent Whitworth sends his greetings. He's in the other committee right now waiting to testify. Madam Chair, Chair Lilly, members of the committee, my message is very simple and brief. Thank you. Minnesota Historical Society and the history community across the state of Minnesota, thank you for your support for our work in this bill and in previous years as we work to preserve Minnesota's history for today's Minnesotans and for future generations. We look forward to working with you as this bill moves through the process, and happy to answer any questions. And I will take Representative Murphy's question. And I think the very simplest way to answer that is you have all seen our annual report, which provides a fairly complete accounting of how we do this work and where the money goes. We work hard to make everyone a program so that Minnesotans can participate in those programs through communications in various ways. So we work hard to make sure that everyone knows about what we're doing, both on the legislative level and on the public level for participation. So again, we thank you for your support in this bill and previously. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kelleher. Next up, let's go to the amendments. We have an amendment coded A7. Representative Green, I believe that is your amendment. Would you like to move it and tell us about it?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A7 amendment.
Representative Green moves the A7 amendment. Can you tell us about it?
A7 amendment is dealing with some clear, in my opinion, to be clarification. In the legacy language right now, there is stipulations that the money from legacy cannot be used to acquire land by eminent domain. And what's happening is that we've got people playing a shell game with that money, where they're sending out now notices to impose eminent domain on land where legacy funds are being used. And what they're doing is saying, well, we're not using that portion of the money for the eminent domain, but that's just ridiculous. If there's eminent domain being used, and in the language in legacy right now says you can't do that, to be able to allow them to to manipulate that system is kind of like being played for a fool. There's other issues with it. There's also something within the eminent domain process that's called a quick take, where if they can't come to any kind of a resolution, what they will do is they'll petition the court and they will actually confiscate the property and put the money into a reserve account. They'll be able to take possession of the property or use the property until after the proceedings, before the proceedings are even done, and then they'll decide what they're going to pay for it. And so the issue now is that this is going on, and it seems to be happening more all the time, where it's become, hopefully it won't become commonplace, but it seems like that eminent domain is being wielded now as a tool. And so what happens is you have the old proverbial saying, make him an offer he can't refuse, back from the Godfather days, because now we've got people with watershed districts and other agencies probably as well coming up, hanging the eminent domain over their head and saying, you're either going to deal with us and sell us your property, or we're just going to take it by eminent domain and you'll get less. So what this does, it clarifies the language that's already in the it clarifies the language already there in the legacy amendment, and says, if you're going to be using eminent domain, you cannot use legacy dollars to acquire that land. That's what the amendment does, and I'd ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Green. Representative Lilly, how do you feel about this amendment?
Thank you, Chair Jordan and Representative Green. We've given you a fair amount of opportunity to discuss this, and I believe we've seen this amendment already this session. And I thought it was pretty clear by the Lessard Sams folks and the Clean Water folks that they are not using this as a tool. So I guess at this time I would I don't know that it's necessary. I mean, there is current state law in position to make it so this should not be happening. So I feel like it's just adding something that really isn't needed at this time, sir. So I would speak against the amendment at this time.
Thank you, Chair Lilly. Any further discussion to the amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Representative Green, would you like me to go to Representative Anderson first and then return to you?
Yes.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, this is interesting. If it's already in state law, as the chair states, it should be kind of a cut and dried deal. But we're hearing that it may be used, at least in a couple of occurrences, kind of at the back end of a deal. And if it's already in state law, that's good. But I think this amendment would clarify that. And if it isn't being used, as some say, then I think this amendment just strengthens that position. And I would be in favor of the amendment offered by Representative Green.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Green, I assume you want a back cleanup, so I'm going to go to Representative Bow. Representative Bow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just kind of a quick follow-up as well. If it's in state statute already, that's good. But if they're dancing around that, then I think that we need to clarify and we need to make sure that that doesn't continue to occur. So I would also be in support of this amendment just to clean that up. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bolt. Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think that they've stated very clearly what I was going to say. It is not only within our purview, it is our obligation to see that the laws that we pass, or if we see the laws that we've passed are not being followed, that and there is cleanup, that we should do that. And as far as the amendment coming back, if it doesn't pass today, it will be back again and again and again, because this is a problem that needs to be fixed. And if just by the virtue of the fact that something's been offered before, that we can't offer it again, your DE would be probably out of order right now too. So I would very much like support on this. Like I said, it doesn't pass today. I guarantee you it's going to be back. It's a huge issue for the folks in my area and other areas too that I've been contacted with. When you take somebody that's been on this property, in some cases they bought the property a few years ago. Other cases they've owned it for probably generations. And if they don't want to sell their property, there has to be some kind of reason for to take it for eminent domain. And that's not always the case either. And we'll be talking about that with the next amendment. But I do ask for your support on the A7 amendment. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Nay. Nay.
No.
No.
The motion does not prevail and the amendment is not added. Representative Green, I believe you also have the A8. Would you like to offer the A8 amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to also offer the A8. The A8 is another, what I would consider to be kind of a cleanup. Right now, we have a process in place that's not really being used. As far back as 1983, I believe, the federal government has required a benefit cost analysis for projects that are done if you're going to receive matching funds from the federal government. I don't know how often that's put in place, but it is called PL-566 Watershed Protection and Flood Preservation Act, 1983. Right now, we're sending out money to a lot of different projects, and we don't know what the benefit of those projects are. There is a recipe, I guess, for lack of a better word, as to how you go about finding the cost benefit. And you can find that online. It's called a Common Framework for Analysis of Benefits Received from Watershed Resource Management and Strategies in Northwest Minnesota. And it was prepared by Dr. Jay Leach and Charles Fitch of the International Water Institute. Excuse me. I get dry sometimes.
Go ahead, Representative Green.
And so what this amendment does is just a simple thing that when you're preparing your projects and bringing them forward for funding, you have to be able to show that there's a benefit to the people in the area or the people in the state for spending state dollars on these projects. And so I'll stand for questions, but I would ask for support for the A8 amendment. And I'd ask for a roll call.
Thank you, Representative Green. A roll call has been requested. Chair Lilly, what is your response to the A8 amendment?
Thank you, Chair Jordan, and thank you, Representative Green. As I've stated, the other times that we've discussed this, I'm not against the discussion, having this discussion and trying to figure out what we're getting for the money and trying to figure this out. It's, having served on Lasard Sams, and I know you dig deeply into the folders that they do, they really do try to vet and try to figure out the benefits. But, and then I know they do this as well on clean water and the other funds. So the problem is, how do you measure like a value of a grouse, or how do you measure a value of a deer, or how, is it economic? Does it drive the hunting season, get more hunters out there? Is that the value, or is it the improved habitat, more pollinators? I'm actually I think we could debate all day long of what outcomes we want, but a trout stream, is great for, say we do a Trouts Unlimited, do a trout stream, and we all love that. A trout, someone comes in from another state and maybe fishes in our river, or one of our neighbors, goes to catch trout. But to me, the greater benefit might be that we've improved the river and cleaned up the environment. And that's an even greater benefit for all of us. So how do you benefit, putting a number on this has just been tricky for me, at least, and I think for all of us that have engaged in these discussions. So I'm not against asking a question, and what is the value of someone even to being able to walk through one of these WMAs or SNAs, or even driving down the highway and seeing a bird flying around? What, and knowing that the water's cleaner, what is the benefit is always hard to measure. So again, I'm not against the discussion. I don't know that this is needed at this time, sir. So I would speak against it.
Thank you, Chair Lilly. Further discussion to the A8.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Representative Green.
Thank you. And Madam Chair and Representative Lilly, there is a process for doing it. And it is obviously recognized by the federal government or they wouldn't require it. And it the report is long and I've read through it and I could go through every one of the points that you brought up. And there's a scale that you use and you start off by the base of what is the project's total cost. And it'll go down and it does take into account all those things you mentioned. And it does bring it down to a monetary value because, and you can get the monetary value out of that as well as the benefits, whether it be to wildlife or natural resources, other natural resources. So the process is there and it is being done. In fact, I have a report on one of the projects up in the Red River Valley that is very, very well put together and it breaks down the cost benefit and the ratios that there are. So basically what the report would reveal is if let's just say number one is where your break even point. And your cost benefit analysis would give you the numbers as to what percentages, if that is above or below or a break even point of that cost benefit. So the ability to do it is there. It is there. And we're putting together all these plans. And if you were going to do anything on a private basis, if it wasn't, you know, tax dollars that we don't really have to account for. Because in fact, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people laughing at even the legacy amendment and saying we're constitutionally obligated to waste money. And that's just simply not true. We're constitutionally obligated to make sure that this money is spent in the proper form and that the people who are paying for it are getting what they are paying for. And that's what this amendment does. It says, if you're going to be asking for money, we want to know some kind of a cost-benefit analysis that tells us, are the people who are paying for this going to get a return on these dollars? And so once again, I think I did request a roll call, but I would ask for support for the 8A. Otherwise, we're just throwing the money out there and hoping for the best.
Thank you. Any further discussion to the 8A amendment? Seeing none and a roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Lilly.
Lilly, no.
Representative Lilly, no. Representative Jordan.
Jordan, no.
Representative Jordan, no. Representative Green.
Yes.
Representative Green, yes. Representative Acom.
No.
Representative Acom, no. Representative Anderson.
Anderson, aye.
Representative Anderson, aye. Representative Bowe.
Bowe votes aye.
Representative Bowe, aye. Representative Christensen.
Christensen, no.
Representative Christensen, no. Representative Hassan.
Hassan, no.
Representative Hassan, no. Representative Murphy. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Representative Nelson, aye. Representative Erdahl.
Erdahl, aye.
Representative Erdahl, aye. Representative Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz, no.
Representative Wasilewicz, no. Representative Zhang. Representative Murphy.
No.
Representative Murphy, no. Mrs. Chair, with the ayes being 5 and the nays being 7.
There being 5 ayes and 7 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Seeing no further amendments, is there any further discussion to the bill as amended? Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have just a couple of questions on the bill. And I think we can go right to on Article 2 on page 31 and starting at line 1-3. Question for the author of the bill, for the the DE amendment. What is the reason for moving from December to January 15th? The reason I ask, Mr. Chair, I think I know, but at the same time, it's when I get these reports, it takes a while to go through them. And if we don't have to have these things settled until January 15th, that probably puts me into almost February before I can even start getting through these bills. And by then we're already into them and voting on different things. And so do you know the reason why they want to move that from December 1st to January 15th?
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Chair Jordan and Representative Green. So this is what I would call kind of a good government. So I think you should love it. So what happens, Lessard Sams is able to better respond currently to the budget forecasts. So we're trying to make that so that in the clean water area, so that they can respond to the most current budget forecast and have the same timeline. So that's simply what it is. It just seems to make a lot of sense. And so it's a more accurate representation, you know, as we get the most recent budget. And it seems to be successful with Lessard Sams in that first year. And so that's our intent.
Representative Green.
That's kind of what I thought, but at the same time, it does make it a little more difficult for me. So I thought that I would ask. The other question is, you know, on that same paragraph on section 3, you're moving the appropriations for the Clean Water Fund to annually. Are we then going to be voting annually on the Clean Water Fund the same as we do the Outdoor Heritage Fund?
Chair Lilly.
Thank you, Chair Jordan and Representative Green. So this is an amendment that is an attempt to, again, respond and to be more adaptive to the current, if you will, budget forecast. So what happens with the Lessard Sams, because they're annual, they're able to, you know, adjust to the money that currently exists. So what we're seeing now is, for example, in the clean water area in the second year, in this case, there's quite a bit of money sitting on the bottom line. So I think what we're envisioning is, you know, that the Clean Water Council can take a look at that and figure out, you know, based on the other investments that the Clean Water Council is making around the state, and have them make suggestions. There is a bit of a trend that we then see all this money, and it's basically a missed opportunity to not invest further in Minnesota. So it's trying to adapt, because it's a huge number. I mean, 33% of our funds go to clean water and 33 go to Lessard Sams. So it's trying to match up those the two systems. It's unlikely to pass. I don't know that there's much appetite in the Senate, but it's to have this discussion. Sorry, that's a long answer.
Representative Green.
Well, thank you. And I don't. I'm not trying to beat up on you here. I'm just wondering where these came from. And I agree with you. They probably won't pass the Senate. But if they should, I don't know that you really answered my question. You gave me an. Does this mean that we're going to be, if we're going to have the report annually, now it sounds like your intention is to vote annually on the clean water portion. Would it then be just as prudent to take the whole legacy, arts and parks and trails as well, and just have an annual report and do an annual bill for all of them?
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Chair Jordan and Representative Green. I'm of the opinion that, and some of the other committee members perhaps are too, that by doing this and maybe by adding everything in that, it makes a lot of sense, because we can be more adaptive, whether it's in this case where the budget forecast is going up greatly, but there is a scenario where it could go down. It's happened historically, so it, you know, it could happen as well. It's a shame not to have the opportunity to have the councils or to have us as a body to be there to better respond to, you know, maybe emerging issues. You know, something might come up that was unexpected, and, you know, provide a great opportunity for legacy funds to respond to that. be maybe a little more responsive. I don't think the voters would necessarily argue against that if we're making good investments in the, you know, the principles of what Legacy is intended to do. And then to, so that's kind of the intent.
Representative Green.
Well, I only have one more question then before, you know, before we're ready to vote and to talk about the, you know, the final passage, I guess. And that would be, I wasn't there or wasn't here, I guess, when they set this up. What was the reason they went to biannual in the first place?
Representative Willie, do you know the answer to that?
Thank you, Chair Jordan. And so we're blessed to have Representative Murphy. She could, she was the around for the first term. She could, I wouldn't mind passing that to her. I have some ideas of why, and but maybe we could get a history lesson. We're blessed to have you on here.
Chair Murphy, do you want to take a stab at that?
You're asking someone from with a memory? for a memory? It was something that at the time that the Outdoor Heritage people especially wanted. And we didn't, I can't remember big, long discussions on whether it was going to be the first year or the second year. But since then, I think we have enough experience that shows that we should be reviewing the budgets forecasts and the budgets for each of the funds on a yearly basis. That's my opinion, not necessarily something that I've discussed with anyone. And I think Representative Green's position is very understandable on this, and that we should be doing it, and we should. And the one line this year that's really troubled me greatly is that, well, we only meet once a month. And with the numbers of people that want to be on the advisory boards or on the boards of each of these funds, it seems to me that we have enough encouragement and enthusiasm from hundreds of Minnesotans that would like to be a chosen person for those to be the deal makers or to be the decision makers for the various councils or for the various advisory boards. And we should be listening to them. And the idea that the structure is so restrained that we only meet once a month does not meet the enthusiasm of Minnesotans that want to have their say. And I think that we should be more open, and we should be, and the legislature should be more reactive to what they are doing in a particular year, whether it's a good finance year or if it's a bad finance year, because we're the ones that get stuck making the decision ultimately that no, we can't put this much money into the projects that you're recommending because the forecast does not allow for it. Or you were, if we do and it's going down, we've got to be able to react faster than we've been doing. My opinion, no history there, except what's happened since. I don't remember why it was, I think it was more based that the people that went out and worked for the votes of the people on this had so much experience in what they expected in the one fund that was the guide for the other funds.
Thank you for the history lesson, Representative Murphy. Representative Green, any closing?
I might have some closing, but I'll wait till everybody else talks and then we'll finish up.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Representative Erdahl.
He was there too.
Thank you.
Should we pop quiz you too as well and ask you?
I think Representative Murphy did a fine job on reviewing. I will comment briefly. When we asked Director Gardner last week about the Water Council, and that's where the 1 month meeting came out. And one of the criticisms was that we shouldn't be looking at the Clean Water Council because this hadn't been vetted. They hadn't been meeting about this. And I think this highlights that and why maybe if we do need to change, it would give them the opportunity to do that. But my actual question here is of Chair Lilly, and that is, what is the status now in the Senate? Are they prepared to do more than the outdoor heritage? What does it look like as far as the path for this bill going forward?
Chair Lilly.
Thank you, Chair Jordan and Representative Erdahl. I mean, that is the big question. We've had conversations with Senator Root and her team, and I'm not going to lie, there isn't a lot of appetite beyond Lessard Sams or some of the adjustments that are needed for projects to have them be successful. There's a few of these in this bill. But I think us as members, I think it's time for us to, we're members now, and I think we're all committed. We've got to building a good bill and doing good work for Minnesota, and I'm comfortable with what we're sending forth. And certainly this change on the annual versus biennial appropriation to me makes a lot of sense. We've also picked up the numbers on some of the other funds. It's really quite sad for me to leave projects on the bottom line. We could build a couple more trails in greater Minnesota in the DNR area, or maybe the county fairs can do one more, extra little thing, or more money in the library. So that's kind of why we picked up the fund, on each of these. But there is not, to answer really your question, unfortunately, there's not a lot of appetite to do to spend that. It is true that this money would be there next biennium to spend. So that is not false. But it's kind of a shame not to lean into some of the current needs. I mean, a lot of our arts and cultural folks have been greatly impacted by COVID and just other things, and not to move some of these projects and maybe do some of these in clean water would be, not to meet the time is a little disappointing. But sorry, that's a long answer, Representative Erdahl. And I know you've been a great leader on this this topic and others, and I've always appreciated that.
Representative Erdahl.
Well, thank you, Chair Lee and Representative Jordan. I'll just add that the two times that I chaired this committee, we did do supplemental budgets in the second year, and it seemed to work fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a kind of a general question and really a simple question. It was mentioned that some of these funds, Article 4 especially, comes to mind, increases between 5% and 8% of funding. And if there are specific projects included in those articles, what if they don't need the additional money? We've got, the economy's been going strongly, and we have additional sales tax revenue and such, but a little bit surprised that we're just adding money on a percent basis to these articles and not really seeing if they actually need it. And again, if it's for a specific project, I question whether the money is being used wisely. And that's just my comment. Thank you.
Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Chair Jordan and Representative Anderson. It's a very good question. I think that was part of the argument in the clean water area. I think they didn't want a across the board percentage increase. And I think that kind of fed into the discussion in the environment committee of Lessard Sams did ask or add equally across all projects. There's a great article in Outdoor News and how that affected, you know, different groups and, got different amounts. I'm not going to lie. I mean, some group might not need the money. That might be the case, and I hope it isn't, and I hope they spend it wisely and are earnest about it, maybe even return it if they don't need it. But most of the groups ask for more money, as you know, sir, and we, I can kind of go through the list, but I'm gonna spare you of that. But I know, and I'm pretty sure none of them got the full ask. So.
Any further discussion before I go back to Lead Green? Lead Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a few closing comments before Chair Lilly wraps up. Some of the things that we've talked about, I guess I don't want to repeat them, but it seems to me, I followed this portion of the DEE, the clean water portion, through, and I've stated in the past that I think it's the legislator's job to do this. So I don't necessarily have a problem with us going outside of the committee recommendations. I think it's our job to look into that. The problem with this is I don't think that anything has been looked into. The amounts that are here, they're so generic. It's just, we have the money, so let's throw it out there. And to make comments like, maybe it can be used for this or that. Now that's really troubling to me, and it should be to every taxpayer. That, that we're sitting here and we're responsible for putting the money that they have, in some cases, given freely, in other cases, was taken from them, whether they liked it or not. Maybe they can't even afford it, but the money comes out of their pocket, and we're going to say, well, we have this money, so let's just toss it out there for this and that, or to say, we hope it goes for good stuff. Good Lord, that should put a lump in your chest. We hope it's going to be good for good stuff, but we don't really know. And that's one of my problems that I've had with the legacy from the start, is that we throw the money out there and maybe 2 years later, we'll find out what it was spent for. Then we can decide whether or not we have to do cleanup. And we've had to do tremendous cleanup on some of the places where this money is spent. And so this is just, like I say, although I'm happy for the fact that maybe legislators are saying this is our responsibility, we need to do it, this is a poor example of how it should be done. I can't support this, and which shouldn't be a surprise for you, I guess, but we'll talk more about it on the House floor, I guess, but I'll be a no vote today. I encourage people not to vote for this in this current form. As always, you can say there's good projects in here. There's good projects in everything. But you need to weigh out and say, just because there's one good thing in there, then we're going to just go ahead and vote for the whole thing, whether we know where the rest is being spent or not. So thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Lilly, for the time.
Thank you, Representative Green. Representative Lilly, I will give you the last word on your bill.
Thank you, Chair Jordan, and committee members. Thank you for the discussion that we've had today and every day this entire session. We've tried to really strongly bring in and do a deeper dive into these funds. I really think they are doing a good job in many areas, well, every area that I've observed that I can see. Yes, we can do better, but people are responding to that. I've been impressed with Lessard Sams and how they seem to be adapting and improving. And I know they're doing their applications right now for the next cycle. And I've heard from Director Johnson that they're reaching to groups that have never been reached before. They're just really making an effort to reach new folks. And they're also checking back on the other ones to make sure that they're doing a good job. I'm sorry if it came across to Representative Green that we're just throwing money out there. We vetted these. Everybody that's going to receive money in this bill, especially like in the arts and the parks and trails, and in those areas that we're adding money, we approved those last biennium. I mean, we went through them and we debated and we included them and then we vetted them, and we can go through those. Yes, we are adding some money and to them, but none of them, I'm certain, got full funding. And I can check just to make sure that I'm on the right there. But, nobody, I mean, it's like bonding committee. I mean, nobody gets their full amount. And I know that was the case on and on through this. But I really appreciate the work of this committee. Our nonpartisan staff really appreciate their work that they've done. And our partisan staff on both sides of the aisle. We're so blessed with a strong team. But this is a good committee bill that we're going to push forward. It's Lee Green, I hope that you can tell me. I just not seen this eminent domain thing. I know you're going to bring it up again. You've said that many times. You're a man of your word. But I just have not seen it. So I just... I hope we can have discussion and reach out to Mr. Johnson and Mr. Gardner and just see, because if that's the case, I think we do have to deal with that and with the current state laws and go after it. But again, I want to thank everybody for their work and on this bill. I think it's a solid committee bill, and I would appreciate your support as we cross the street and battle with the Senate. with our friends across the street to get a good bill. And there is a lot of great things that are being done with these funds for Minnesota. And again, thank you. Appreciate your support today.
Representative Lilly renews his motion that House File 3438 as amended be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Lilly.
Lilly, aye.
Representative Lilly, aye. Representative Jordan.
Jordan, aye.
Representative Jordan, aye. Representative Green.
No.
Representative Green, no. Representative Acomb.
Aye.
Representative Acomb, aye. Representative Anderson.
Anderson, no.
Representative Anderson, no. Representative Bowe.
Bowe votes no.
Representative Bowe, no. Representative Christensen.
Aye.
Representative Christensen, aye. Representative Hassan.
Hassan votes aye.
Representative Hassan, aye. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, aye.
Representative Murphy, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, no.
Representative Nelson, no. Representative Erdahl.
Aye.
Representative Erdahl, aye. Representative Wasilewicz.
Wasilewicz, aye.
Representative Wasilewicz, aye. Representative Zhang. Mrs. Chair, the ayes are 8 and the nays are 4.
There being 8 ayes and 4 nays, the motion prevails and the bill is re-referred to Ways and Means. With that, I will pass the virtual gavel back to Chair Lilly.
Thank you, Vice Chair Jordan. Again, committee members, thank you for this session. I feel really blessed that we've had a robust discussion and deeper dive into many of these funds. And, I think we can go to the voters proudly and say that we're protecting these monies and that we're looking after them. But I'm happy about this bill too, that we're kind of meeting the times. I think that's important as a committee too, to lead and to be bold about that. So I think, again, thank you to nonpartisan staff and to our partisan staff, in these COVID times. It's super sad not to be with you all in person. And, we missed out on Zoo Day and other days. So, with that, if seeing no other questions, again, thank you all. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.